Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Nancy Giles, sitting in for Allison Stewart. Now, from Hudson Yards, let's hop on the 7 train and take a trip to Queens, where a project created and led by architectural historian Frampton Tolbert seeks to document and research the borough's mid-century and modern buildings and promote the architects who built them. I love that. I'm from Queens. The Queens Modern Project has created a searchable database where you can learn more about the largely obscure architects who were operating in Queens in the mid-20th century. You can search by type of building, whether it's a hospital, a restaurant, a religious building, or a post office. You can also learn whether a building has been altered or demolished. In the face of increased development in Queens, many of the buildings surveyed by Queens Modern have already been significantly changed or destroyed entirely. In its project statement, Queens Modern stresses the urgency of its initiative and warns of a, quote, danger that this architecture will disappear before we fully appreciate what we have. We can't let that happen. Frampton Tolbert joins me in the studio to discuss the project. Frampton, welcome to All of It.
Thank you, Nancy, for having me.
Thank you. Tell me, where did the inspiration for the project come from?
I've been really interested in this architecture for a long time, and I was looking at mid-century architecture just kind of broadly. And then I was in New York City, I was saying, okay, there's a lot of this architecture in Queens, and is there already documentation on this? And really noticed that the Queens Chamber of Commerce had been doing a building awards program since the 1920s, where they were giving out awards to a lot of buildings, up to 30 buildings a year at its height. And I was like, wow, they already have a lot of this information out there. And has anybody actually ever explored, you know, this group of buildings and their significance?
Why do you think this architecture is in Queens specifically? Is there a reason?
Well, Queens, was developing later. I found some documentation that there was a Queens Chamber of Commerce pamphlet that said 61% of buildings constructed in New York City from 1930 to 1943 were in Queens. And, you know, starting in the 40s, the population of Queens was expanding about 20% a decade, whereas all the other boroughs, it was either remaining stagnant or was actually declining. So people were really moving to Queens in droves. And so then it would make sense that they needed apartments and homes,
sure,
and schools and all the things that go along with hundreds of thousands of people moving there.
Right. The population explodes. You need more buildings.
Yes.
I'm also thinking Queens being the largest borough and also Queens being the place where the World's Fair was, not only back in the 30s, but in the 60s, and the kind of architecture that came out of that period. What kind of buildings are featured in that database that you were talking about?
Oh, all sorts of buildings. I mean, really, there's just such a wide variety of buildings in Queens, and, you know, I'm very interested in, you know, the buildings in your backyard. So a lot of schools, banks, hospitals, that sort of thing. Really, really every type of building you could consider. Buildings at the airport, all sorts of things.
So let's see. According to that project statement, which we said, the basis for the Queens Modern is the Queens Chamber of Commerce Building Awards Program. So what is your process for researching each building?
Well, I used the Chamber of Commerce awards programs as a starting point, but I actually went out and surveyed in person about 400 buildings myself, looked at were they still there, what their condition was, visited the interiors of some of the more significant ones, reached out to property owners, reached out to the children of architects who built them, and was really trying to get a lot more information because, you know, this information is not all located in one place.
Right, right. How often do you come across buildings when in your research that's hard to find information about?
All the time.
What do you do?
I mean, again, I think a lot of it, I've been reaching out to family members of architects and, you know, finding that through Ancestry or finding through those sorts of sources saying, I understand that your parent was an architect. Do you want to talk about them? Do you have any documentation? I mean, a lot of these firms were very small. And so when the offices closed, all of their archives were thrown away. So there's not a lot of primary sources left. So a lot of times they're thrilled to be able to talk about their parents'
lives. Oh, isn't that great? Those architects, are they all, some of them you said are obscure, but would some of the names of the architects of these buildings be recognizable to people?
Some. I mean, in Queens, you know, like other boroughs, there were bigger projects. Obviously, the TWA terminal at JFK Airport, what's a building that most people know, is just really fantastic. Conn and Jacobs, who did a lot of buildings on Park Avenue, also did an airport building out in Briarwood. So there are some bigger names, but I was really interested in those people who lived in Queens, were designing in their neighborhood, were designing for local developers, and were really building out their own neighborhoods.
All right, so to name one, the architect John O'Malley, what should we know about him?
I mean, he was a Catholic church architect, and the Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn, which encompassed Brooklyn, Queens, and Long Island in the early, in the mid-20th century, he was on a list of approved architects, and he was really interested in pushing building design. He did several round churches, but he was really interested in how people were worshiping at that time and designing buildings to accommodate some of the changes in the liturgy.
Anybody out there that's listening, we want to hear from you, whether it's significant to the community or if you like the building just for how it looks. Share one of those overlooked buildings in your neighborhood with us, Queens listeners. Let us know what you know. Let's see. The project is kind of connected to this blog that you've got that's called Mid-Century Mundane. So can you, I like that term. Can you explain what that means and how it relates to those Queens buildings?
So that was kind of the impetus I was mentioning at the beginning, where I was just featuring any building that I came across on that blog. Just, I liked it. It was not a really well-known building, probably by someone who was not a well-known architect, but it really struck me as contributing to the character of that neighborhood, that street, that place. And then from there, I felt, you know, what can I do beyond there? But that just started out as a passion project of just like, I see a building, I post about it. Let's see what kind of response we get.
And what kind of responses have you been getting?
I mean, it's been very positive. I mean, occasionally someone will say, why am I looking at this picture of this gas station? Doesn't look interesting to me. But other, you know, and that's a perfectly reasonable response. But I'm getting a lot of responses, especially with the Queens Project, of people in their neighborhood saying, oh, you posted this bank. I never thought about it, but it's a bank I grew up going to. Or, oh, I went to Queens College and you're featuring these buildings at Queens College. I never thought about them in this way. And so that's been really, really positive to hear about.
Well, I'm happy to say one of the buildings and one of the pieces that I saw was the Jamaica Savings Bank building, which my father, who was a draftsman, not a full architect, his firm worked on that building, and he had something to do with those gorgeous silver designs. I was thrilled.
Yeah, that's an amazing building with the concave kind of wall of blue Italian glass.
That's right.
It's such a beautiful building, and you know, it's no longer a bank. I think it's now a shoe store. But you know, really anchors that part of downtown Jamaica, and people just recognize it from all over.
It's true. When we talk about modern or what's called mid-century modern architecture, what does that mean exactly? I've never known.
I mean, it generally means using modern tenets, that this was a new design style that was looking towards Europe and was really not looking at revival styles. But I'm interested, really, I'm looking at a lot of stuff that's even some revival styles that were built in the mid-century. You know, really, really anything for me, at least it's worth looking at how Queens was developing in the mid-century. But generally it means with a modern style, not, you know, looking towards Europe.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes, I see what you're saying. Now, you know, I think some people sometimes argue about buildings and think that maybe why they should be torn down is just because they're ugly. They don't look good. What would you say to that?
I mean, again, I'm just trying to raise awareness and have people look at these before it's too late. There's a very swooping bank on Queens Boulevard next to the round Macy's building.
Right.
That the Landmarks Commission did landmark several years ago, and the city council overturned that landmarking because the city council thought the building didn't look like a landmark. They thought the building was ugly. And so, you know, the Landmarks Commission thought that this building was significant. It was done by a nationally renowned architect. So just raising awareness about, even if you think it's ugly, there's still some significance there, and it's still important.
It's worth knowing about. We want to hear from you, whether it's significant to the community or if you like the way it looks. Share with us one of those overlooked buildings in your neighborhood. Share what you know about it, why you think it's worthy of recognition. And if you know, tell us who built it. Queens residents get priority. Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I'm wondering, Oh, you were talking about John O'Malley before, who's the Queens architect. He's based in Brooklyn. Are there any architects that were based in Queens?
Sure. Jerome Perlstein was a really, I find him to be a quirky architect. He was based in Queens and worked for a company that still exists in Long Island City called Proper Industries.
Okay.
And they started buying up small warehouses in Long Island City, and they hired him to make these warehouses look attractive to tenants. And so he covered the fronts of them with mosaic tiles and bricks and screens and made them look really funky 60s style, really kind of dressing up this kind of shed architecture. And, you know, and there a lot of them are still there, even though with the rapid changes in Long Island City, they're disappearing very quickly.
Oh, that's such a shame. Now, Clara Coffey, she's another person on the list. And I mean, a woman, and that's significant right there. Was it unusual for a woman to be, she founded her own architecture firm, did she not?
She did.
Was that unusual?
It was. And, you know, in my research of looking at 400 to 500 buildings, I only identified three women architects, and two of them only did one building. So, you know, she was significant. Her firm did 30 parks, 24 playgrounds, 10 public housing campuses. So they were very busy.
That's huge.
Really huge. And really were doing innovative things with concrete, with playground equipment. And she knew all about plants. She had lots and lots of commissions. But on a lot of her projects, her name wasn't even listed because there was a law in New York State where landscape architects and architects could not be in the same listed as partners. So a lot of her projects are listed as Levine and Blumberg. So her name is not even listed on
Why
the project.
Why is that? Why
it was an early law in New York State. When I was looking, you know, her other two partners in her firm, who were both men, were getting the credit for the projects that she had a lot to do with.
It's so great that you're showcasing her and her name is getting out there. How many of the buildings that you surveyed no longer exist?
I would say about at least a quarter of them.
That many?
Yes. And again, it's changing all the time. I mean, I started this project back in 2014. And, you know, since that time, places like Long Island City have just changed so dramatically that I'd say 30 to 40 buildings there that I was looking at, very modest, you know, warehouses and factory buildings are no longer there. So it really is changing every day.
Well, when we lose those buildings, what do we lose? What sense do we lose in Queens and of the architecture when they're gone?
I mean, I think how Queens developed. I mean, Queens developed as a more suburban style borough that people are moving to for light and air, and a lot of people are going there to buy their first homes and move to these areas that had small main streets and, you know, little commercial cores. And we're starting to lose that with kind of the overdevelopment of certain parts of Queens. Is it starting to feel like other parts of the city?
I think we have a call. Let's see. Bruce from Jackson Heights is asking about the Queensboro Corporation. Bruce, are you there?
I am here.
Hi. We're here with Tolbert. What did you want to ask? Frampton Tolbert. What did you want to ask?
Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate the work that you do and the interest in preservation. And the Queensboro Corporation, I'm kind of familiar with it. They built a whole bunch of buildings in the Jackson Heights area. But I'm kind of curious, what's your knowledge on what the interest of the current owners is on landmarking those buildings and kind of keeping them the way they are and preserving that pre-war kind of, I mean, it's not European beauty, it's not extensive beauty, but there's certain brick patterns and, you know, architectural features that make it look beautiful, and just interested in keeping that area the way it is. I'm just curious if you know if they're going to be doing that kind of thing.
I mean, there is a Jackson Heights Historic District that covers some of those apartment buildings, especially those earlier garden-style apartment buildings. But as you're saying, the Queensboro Corporation and other developers continue to develop up until the 60s and 70s. And so some of those buildings, you're right, have been left out. I know there's some interest in the community in expanding that historic district. Whether that includes those mid-century buildings, I would obviously push for. And a few of them are included kind of next to some of the older buildings, so they will be preserved. And I think it's just getting people to recognize that significance.
Frampton, your interest in Queens and in preserving and making sure people know about this architecture is really pretty wonderful. Is it something that you want to bring to other areas of New York or other areas of the tri-state area?
I mean, Queens is definitely where I think the bulk of the architecture that I'm looking at is, I mean, I've definitely done survey work in all five boroughs, love walking around the city and just seeing what's there. But sometimes it might be, you know, there's a mid-century church in the Bronx that's surrounded by a lot of much older buildings.
Right.
And so it's a little harder to get people to take a tour of that neighborhood if there's only one building to look at.
You have a lot of Queens love, and I appreciate that. I think it's important because the borough does get overlooked in a lot of ways. Is that something that you're hoping that this project enlightens people about?
Absolutely. You know, there just aren't a lot of articles. I mean, especially with the architecture, just people are not paying attention to that, whether it's landmarking and, or buildings of any era. But, you know, I really would love for people just to appreciate Queens overall and the diversity and kind of wonderful character that Queens has, not just in architecture, but throughout.
Absolutely. We've got another caller, Michael, who is a longtime Queens resident. Michael, we're here with Frampton Tolbert.
Hello.
What's your question?
Am I on the line?
Yes, you are. And what is your question?
Oh, okay. Two things very important. One was the American Airlines terminal in Kennedy Airport. Now, I don't know if you remember it, but it was the world's largest stained glass window. It was built by Robert Sowers in 1961. It extended almost a mile. And, I mean, it was truly amazing. I knew Sowers, and I think in the late 90s, it was torn down. I mean, no other country would ever do something like that.
What a shame.
And the second thing that I want to bring up is the bungalows in Far Rockaway. This extended like all along the Rockaway Peninsula, and it was a whole culture. I mean, it lasted for many, many years, and there's precious few bungalows left. So that's what I would like to say.
Thanks, Michael. You want to talk about those bungalows, Frampton?
Sure. I mean, the bungalows are definitely earlier 20th century where people were going during the summers to spend the whole summers there. And I've done previous work with the Beach Bungalow Preservation Association out there. So they're doing great work. And in terms of the airport, I mean, it's very hard to get the Port Authority to preserve buildings. You know, they really are looking at expanding the airport to make it a modern airport. And so we've lost a lot of those very important buildings just to the changes in air travel.
We've got Nick from Putnam County. Nick, his daughter lives in Queens. I think you had a question?
Well, a comment, really. I'm a building inspector, and I was a licensed contractor for many years. Pretty much retired now. I'm on the Queens Modern website for the first time.
Well, very good.
Frampton, I want to congratulate you for how brilliant this website is, how easy it is to navigate, and the content, the quality and volume of content, and the photo database, it's fantastic.
Thank you.
I mean, where has it been all my life?
Frampton,
anyway.
That must feel good. That's an unsolicited comment and praise from Nick in Putnam County. Thanks, Nick. Well, congratulations. You really have created something there that's easy to navigate and is really educating people. That must feel good.
It's great. And I mean, it's really my love. And so the fact that other people are excited and interested in it is so wonderful, you know, that it can be useful for people to learn more about Queens.
Thanks to Frampton Tolbert of the Queens Modern Project, which we now know is very easy, a wonderful website, easy to navigate, and you will learn. When we come back, we'll conclude our hour on architecture with Leela Borzog and Hayes Slade, and a conversation about the Big Ideas for Small Lots NYC Housing Design Competition. This is All of It on WNYC. Don't go away.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.